sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we'll get Jason Dombach here in just a few moments, which we're looking forward to having on. He had to pick up his car. In fact, he's just pulling in right now. Get JD on the show here in just a few moments. And welcome to the Sunbury Motors Studio, my man. First of all, your impressions of the spatial and palatial Sunbury Motors Studio.
Well, first of all, I wasn't 100% sure I had the right address. So I'm walking around the back of the building here and probably looked a bit on the shady side, but I'm glad I'm here. This is awesome. You got hooked up very nice, my friend. I'm really impressed. You've come a long way in the world, finally.
Yeah, I know.
It's about time you did something with yourself.
You know, I've been trying my entire life. Can I find my niche at something? And I found it. And this is how I found it. I was able to figure out how to convince them I could do this thing. Hey, you don't need that thing. And over there,
you go into these fancy studios.
You know, adjust your headphone volume over there, whichever one it happens to be. And
wow,
I mean, everything, you name it, we have it here. You are in a state of shock.
I am. This is unbelievable. You feed very well, my friend.
You think? And I'm looking on, and you know what they did? And in all seriousness, you know what they did? When we sat down to do all of this, you know, talked about various times when to do it. And this is how conscientious the good people are at WKOK Sunbury Broadcasting. I mean, really, how much thought was put into it?
Yeah.
They decided to go 3 to 5 for 3 reasons. Okay, number one, of course, they thought it could be, you know, their idea is that this can be successful in spite of the host, right? And but then, by being done at 5 o'clock, I can get to football practice, which I've been doing.
Right.
I can be done at 5 o'clock at the basketball practice. And also, by being done at 5 o'clock, for example, and this we talked about this, you being the general manager of the club, that opened the door that allows me to continue with the State College Spikes.
Yeah, this is awesome, though. I mean, I've already seen a few capital improvements that I would continue to make that I'm sure shouldn't be on WKOK's dime.
No, it has to be on mine.
It's got to be on your dime.
Let's
like
start.
This television, first of all.
Yes.
That's not acceptable.
No, it's not acceptable. I know I'm going to have to get some sort of flat screen in here.
I mean, does it work these days? I mean, I haven't seen something like that since, you know, I was like 2 years old.
It does work, and I didn't realize Zenith still made.
I mean, the wood paneling on the side, the RCA, it only gets 2 to 13. I mean,
it's true. It only gets.
We've got to make that upgrade.
Okay. Now, a flat screen there would be a plus. Then I realize that's a capital improvement I have to make.
It is.
I understand it. Right? Now, I obviously spent extensive amounts of money on the shelving.
It did. The shelving, the PVC shelving, bowing inward.
Yes.
With old media guides, old Red Sox, what is that, a 1997 Red Sox media guide?
It's 2000. I mean,
what do you even use that for?
That's 2004.
Oh, okay.
Because they won the World Series.
Right.
And 2005, which is a recap of the World Series, plus there's 2007 in there somewhere when they won it.
2008 USC football, there's no need for that.
No, there probably isn't. I don't know why I have 2008. Oh, that's because of the Rose Bowl, that's right.
Oh, okay.
That's a Rose Bowl.
All right, I stand corrected.
That's a Rose Bowl media guide.
This is great, though, Steve. You know, really impressed.
You know, laminator for charts. I mean, that's my capital improvement. You know, did that.
I should point out there is a local television and appliance store parked in your driveway. So I illegally parked on the street.
So did I.
I noticed that.
Because
that's why I thought it was okay.
Because somebody wants a double oven.
The beauty of this, though,
not me,
is that not only can you do an outstanding radio show for the good folks in Sunbury, but you can also, during the commercial breaks, you can get that honey-do list down a little bit.
No.
This is impressive, though. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
I'm probably going to up the number of games I'm doing this summer now. Just so you know.
Why do you want to go to Batavia? Well, you know.
I've always had an affinity for Eastern Buffalo. I've always loved Dwyer Stadium.
Oh, this is great. This is awesome. This is really good. I meant to tell you, I had a chance to see Coach O'Brien speak yesterday. First time I've seen him in person.
Okay.
At the Top Trees at the CBB. Had a nice membership function.
Right.
And he was terrific. Really, I mean, you come out of it, anytime I've heard him speak on TV so far or on radio, you know, you get a nice positive vibe from him.
You do.
And I had a good, really, really enjoyable listening to him yesterday and talk about, you know, the four things that you're going to get out of Penn State football program, academics and, you know, right down the line, loyalty and character and just really terrific. And he's already given back to the local community. He's doing a lot of things in the community here. So, you know, I'm really was really impressed by his speech. Elijah Robinson was there as well.
Right. Yeah.
And it's good to see him out hitting the circuit. I know they did a bit of a press release the other day talking about the traveling caravan that he's going to be doing. So, you know, I'm really impressed with Coach O'Brien. He did say, he goes, is it always this windy here? The people ask me how the quarterbacks are doing. It's hard to say when the ball's flying back in their face.
Right,
with the wind that we
the
have
wind
here.
Has been bad.
Tremendous here. So yeah. I don't know what we're going to learn about the passing game, at least so far, but I was impressed with him. Really, really, really impressed right. with Coach O'Brien.
No, and they've only gone indoors once. They went indoors yesterday. And I didn't know. I mean, I went with a parka. I went with a sweatshirt. The whole thing, and all of a sudden they were inside. And I figured a little mini snowstorm going on for a period of time, they would do that. But he has wanted to practice outside as often as possible because he said, look, you're going to play outside.
Yeah. Yeah, you got November. Last time I checked, the schedule goes into late November. It goes into Thanksgiving weekend now.
Yeah.
You'll have that game here this year. So,
Well, think about it now. In the last 2 years, the three major programs in the state, Steve Addazio at Temple, Paul Christ, excellent hire, by the way, at Pitt.
I like it so far.
And you're going to like it. And then Bill O'Brien at Penn State. I mean, in the last 3 years, the three major programs have new coaches.
Yeah. And Addazio's getting some good stuff done.
He is.
Building, of course, on what Al Golden had put together. You know, and none of them inheriting what I would consider excellent quarterback situations, frankly.
Right.
And I know things are shaking out here at Penn State. Paul Christ has quarterback quandary at Pitt as well. But, you know, I'm excited. I'm actually really excited about Paul Christ over at Pitt.
You should, because, you know, I thought,
'cause he just seems like a no-nonsense guy. He's not going to win the press conference. You know, we're talking about Bill O'Brien. He's done very well on that circuit. I don't think Paul Christ is that dynamic guy.
No.
He's just a guy that you could see in the lab, though. He just can't wait to get through the media obligations. Not that he's not good at it.
Right.
He just wants to get in the lab and coach football.
But that's the way he's always been. And I remember talking with Matt LePay, Matt's been on this show many times, especially lately with Wisconsin's run in the NCAA tournament. We had Matt on a couple times. And I was talking with Matt probably 2 years ago, and then I talked to him again at Thanksgiving when I was out there. And he said that Paul Christ is going to make an excellent head coach. He said his problem would be being hired by somebody.
Yeah.
Because he was not going to wow them with personality. You take a guy like Patrick Chambers. Patrick Chambers, you know darn well, when he went in for the interview, they walked out of there and went, the personality was like, whoa. To the point where I remember they told me at the time, because they interviewed three guys. They went all took them to Charlotte. They wanted to get them all to one location and away from everybody. So it was Ron Everhart. It was Rob Jeter from Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Patrick Chambers. And I remember somebody who was involved in the interview saying to me the next day, he says, man, I got to figure out what's real and what's not real. Well, I knew which guy they were talking about.
Right.
Well, when they went up to Boston to meet and then talk to other people, they found out it was all real. It was all real. And you see how he is here. It's all real. What you see from Patrick Chambers is the genuine article. Paul Crist was never going to go in and interview like that, ever. And that is actually partially a detriment, and to Pitt's credit, they saw through it.
And they had interviewed him the year before.
Yes.
Before they hired Todd Graham, or as some call Fraud Graham. They used to say the same thing. Remember, they said the same thing about Tony Dungy before he got a head coaching job with the Bucks in the mid-90s.
Right.
He had interviewed numerous times for other teams, and they always said, well, he's just not a good interviewer, which I find hard to believe because he's actually a very well-spoken guy, obviously, and you know, does a lot. And that now that you know who Tony Dungy is and you've been exposed to him so much over his broadcast career and his NFL career, but they used to say the same thing about him, that, you know, he just wasn't interviewing well, but obviously a great football coach and a great motivator.
But he is, even in broadcasting, he is soft-spoken. He's intelligent.
True.
But he doesn't come across with fire. And I wonder if, for example, in an interview situation, if you don't show that, even though you have it, the ability to show the fire and passion within you for what you want to do and the conviction behind it, if you're soft-spoken, sometimes that doesn't come through.
Yeah. Ron Everhart, good choice not to go that direction. Out at Duquesne.
Hey, that one mystified me.
I heard the rumors as well. That didn't make sense to me.
That one mystified me. And I will admit I privately made a comment about it. you know, with all due respect to anybody. You know.
Well, T.J. McConnell, nice player, obviously, at Duquesne, transferring now to Arizona.
He's going to transfer to Arizona.
Was he transferring before Everhart got fired?
Don't know. That's a good question. I get the feeling he was transferring before Everhart was fired. That's the impression I got. You know, and certain guys go along. Yeah, I'll tell you who's transferred. Derek Gordon, who is the point guard at Western Kentucky, Plainfield, New Jersey, wants to now transfer. Led Western Kentucky in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Was the big reason, one of the big reasons they got to the NCAAs with their run.
Losing record, but turned it on at the end of the year.
Sun Belt won the first round game in Dayton.
Yeah.
Before losing to Kentucky in the second round. Which is no shame. Last time I checked, everybody lost to Kentucky in the tournament. So there's no shame there.
Yes, they did.
All right. We've got the Penguins and the Flyers. Game one last night. What we're going to do is we're going to come back. You and I will talk about that extravaganza moment as we continue with the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr, by the way, is on vacation. We've put up on our poll today. The poll question is, do you miss Kevin Herr on the show? And we put that poll question out there. Let's just check here, JD. And first of all, let's just see for a moment exactly where the poll question stands. Let's see. View results. Do you miss her on the show? 61% no, 39% yes.
About what you thought?
About what I thought.
The new USFL is back. That caught my eye.
Yes, new uniforms.
We got to talk about the USFL, man. I was locked in.
I love the USFL. I was a big USFL fan.
I was locked. That was the first game I ever went to. It was a USFL game.
Philly Stars?
No. Pittsburgh Maulers. Denver Gold. Pittsburgh Maulers.
The Denver Gold.
And Rick Neuheisel at the helm. The Maulers had a 21-0 lead, and 8-year-old Jason Dombach was very excited with his foam finger.
Mike Rozier
had a nice touchdown run in that game. Final score, Denver 31, Pittsburgh 21. And so is the history of the Pittsburgh Maulers in the USFL. 3-15, 1-done.
You know what I liked about the USFL was the original concept in which each franchise was assigned 5 colleges. And that was their...
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes, the initial pool.
Okay.
That's why the Philadelphia Stars, for example, had so many Penn State players. That's why they had so many. And that made it more, as far as I'm concerned, a little more interesting for me to watch. Drew me in. I wanted to watch Chuck Fusine. I wanted to watch Scott Fitzke. I wanted to watch players like that play.
Mark Battaglia, who I've become friends with, played for the Birmingham Stars.
Yes, Birmingham. Right? And the Birmingham Stars lasted all 3 years.
They did.
Yep.
Some of my favorite conversations with him were just talking, just listening to him talk about the USFL. In the game when he went back to Pittsburgh, 58,000 people, first game of the Maulers, and Cliff Stout was the quarterback.
Right.
And it got pelted by ice and snow, and Battaglia was telling me that all the guys on the team knew he was a Pittsburgh guy, and he'd been talking up coming back to Pittsburgh. You're going to love it, sell out crowds, it's going to be great. They wanted to lynch him after the game because it was such a bad experience for those poor Birmingham players. Are they really bringing that league back? What is that? What is that headline?
They're going to make it a AAA league. They're going to try to affiliate with some NFL.
Good.
In other words, it'll be NFL Europe
style, right?
But in, for example, I don't. Well, let's throw some examples out. Non-NFL cities: Birmingham, Hartford, Omaha, Sacramento. You know, not, I'm just throwing out. You know, Las Vegas.
Bring back the Oklahoma Outlaws, baby.
Oklahoma Outlaws, the franchise. Coached by Steve Spurrier, the Tampa Bay
Bandits. They were good. Well, they were successful.
And John Bassett owned them, and Bassett had a completely different philosophy than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But Trump, to his credit, respected Bassett so much that he would cut him slack in meetings. And, of course, unfortunately, Bassett eventually passed away.
My favorite player was not a Mauler. He was a Bandit. His name was Eric Trevelyan.
Eric?
Do you remember that name?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I mean, I love the USFL. That was fun stuff.
Scott Fiske gave me Vinny DeMarinis' jersey from the Stars. I have it up in some closet. All right, we'll come back.
Let's go get it.
Yeah, let's go get it right now. Put it on. Feel great. Vinny DeMarinis lives. We'll come back with more after this.
It's serious savings at BZ Motors in Lewisburg during the Chrysler Town & Country event, where you can triple your down payment. Make a $1,000 down payment on any new 2012 Chrysler Town & Country and get up to a $1,000 down payment match from Chrysler and up to a $1,000 down payment match from BZ Motors. That's like $3,000 for one. Plus, get an extra $1,000 trade-in assistance when you trade any vehicle in on a new 2012 Chrysler Town & Country. Get a new 2012 Chrysler 200 Touring with up to 31 highway miles per gallon for as low as $17,870. Or choose 0% APR financing for up to 72 months, plus a $750 rebate on any new 2012 Chrysler 200. And right now, recent college graduates can get a $500 bonus on new 2012 vehicles at BZ Motors. Get into some serious savings during the Chrysler Town & Country event at BZ Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Lewisburg. Remember, nobody beats BZ, the dealership you can trust. Special financing on approved credit. All prices after rebate and are plus tax, title, and tag.
Does your flooring look faded? The Decorating Center can revitalize it for a limited time. With any purchase and installation of one or more rooms of flooring, you'll get one beautiful 8x10 area rug at no cost to you. Plus, all flooring is 20% off. Carpets, ceramic tile, hardwoods, and laminates, all 20% off. And all to beautify your home. Hurry in now to the Decorating Center, Route 45 east of Mifflinburg.
Is the legacy you're leaving to your family in place? At Scheib Law, their family protection plan will make sure it is. You take your place in your family seriously, and so does Scheib Law. They will help you put your estate in order so your legacy is intact and your family will be taken care of. Scheib Law will help you save money, time, and hassle. You can rest assured knowing you're protecting your family. Find out more about the family protection plan at Scheib Law Lewisburg. Call 523-3200 or 877-313-7926.
This modern world we have is filled with many things that make our lives easier. Washers, dryers, all kinds of fridges, stoves, other appliances, all new and modernized. If they let you down, though, you can fix them at a fraction of the cost than getting someone from outside to fix them by doing it yourself with help from APW. APW carries all kinds of parts for every brand and manner of appliance. If it's not in stock, Jerry will gladly order it for you. They make your life easier at APW Market Street in Sunbury.
Buy direct from the factory and save during the three-day tent event at Strong Pools and Spas. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, take $500 off any in-stock spa. Enjoy free hot dogs and soda and take home additional prizes during Strong's three-day tent event. Save on spas, chemicals, pool toys, and equipment for 3 days and 3 days only this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday during the fourth annual tent event at Strong Pools and Spas Factory Outlet on Route 11 between Northumberland and Danville.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us. Thursday afternoon, Jason Dombach on board, and the number 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, if you'd like to join in on this intriguing conversation. And the Flyers last night, down 3-0, Rally beat the Penguins 4-3. Now, let's establish off the top, Danny Briere on the second goal is well offside.
At least 2 feet.
At least 2 feet. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
How... Now, again, there are two referees, which means the linesmen are freed up to do this job, and it's a missed call.
Completely missed call. You know, my take on that, Steve, the game last night, and this is not the first time it's happened this year. The Flyers, if you look at the season series... At least three of the games now, the Penguins have completely, utterly dominated the Flyers early on. You can go back to the game, the Penguins, when they had their 11-game winning streak snapped in Philadelphia, when they lost the game with like a second left on the overtime goal.
Right.
There was the game, the game that was marred by the penalties. Two games in remaining in the regular season between the two teams. That was a game the Penguins jumped out early 2-0. Laviolette calls a timeout.
Right.
They get things settled. And then, you know, you have last night, down 3-0. The Penguins down 3-0. Actually, after it was 2-0, Laviolette calls the timeout. But he is a mastermind coach.
Let's establish that right now.
American-born mastermind coach. Peter Laviolette, the best American-born coach going, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, you throw Tortorella out there, Bielsma, you know, you've had others, or Herb Brooks over the years, Badger Bob that have passed on. Laviolette is a mastermind coach, and it's happened numerous times this year. They've fallen behind, I forget what the stat is, it's happened at least 10 times, where they've fallen behind 2-0 in the first period. He loves to use those timeouts early in the game, an expletive-laden... lip readers love when they show Laviolette during the timeouts. And they just, you know, to their credit, and Bryshkalov, you know, he shook off that horrible start early on and was terrific the rest of the way. I mean, and there's some luck as well, some hit posts in the second period that could have gone the other way for the Penguins. You know, that is a devastating loss for Pittsburgh. And for Philadelphia, I mean, you talk about the momentum that builds. I believe the winner of this series wins the Stanley Cup. Against the Nashville Predators, by the way.
Actually, I picked Nashville in the West as well.
I've been ridiculed for that pick before, but I believe it.
I picked Nashville in the West,
yeah.
And I think the number two team to me is the Chicago Blackhawks. Now Jonathan Toews is back. Toews is huge. Now in the East, I still think that, and I hate to say this, but the New York Rangers, their defense is so good. We'll talk more about that after the news with Sarah Bartlett, who, by the way, has such a big heart. She voted yes on Kevin Herr. It's okay, Sarah, to be balanced. You're in news.
Your information source 7 days a week. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the show, the broadcast extravaganza that it is. Joined by Jason Dombach, who for many years was the play-by-play voice of the Altoona Curve of the Eastern League, a Pirates AA affiliate, and now is the general manager of the State College Spikes, but has extensive, as I think everyone can tell, broadcast experience. We've been talking about the Flyers and the Penguins. Now, I said I thought the Rangers might be the favorite in the East, but I'm with you. I think Nashville is the team in the West.
In the West.
But you think the winner of this series is the team to beat.
If they're not too bloodied and battered, you know. Now, that game last night actually was not... let me take this back. It was physical. A lot of hitting, a lot of finishing the checks, but it was not as I expected.
The game,
I thought it would be more.
The game, the opener Wednesday night, was interesting in that the Flyers did not score their first goal until the second period, which was their first power play.
Right. They had one power play the whole game.
Right. That was it. So that, you know, even though the game may have been physical in some parts,
right,
it was a little looser, I think, than some of the other games that have been played between the two this season.
And, you know, the the point was made. I watched the Pittsburgh feed, and the point was made, for those that may follow the Penguins or familiar with the Penguins, when they first went to the Stanley Cup playoffs with this group of players, they played the Ottawa Senators, who were coming off of a Stanley Cup final appearance. And the first game of that series in 2007, first playoff game ever for Malkin, excuse me, Staal, Crosby, all of the young players that they have, they got punched in the mouth. Right. The first period of that game, they lost the series because
right.
they were out hit. They just weren't ready for the intensity of the playoffs. And I think that happened a bit with the Flyers last night. They're more veteran and playoff experience, certainly, than that group of Penguins, but they still have a lot of young players who are newer to the playoff experience. And I think the Penguins came out and certainly punched them in the mouth. Certainly scoring three goals helps in the first period, but they were finishing a lot more checks. They had the intensity. They had the home ice crowd. I never could have predicted that Philadelphia would have come back in that game the way they did. That is to their credit. Devastating loss for the Penguins. Yes, Philadelphia still needs to win three more games, but they've had their number all year. They have tremendous success in that building for whatever reason. And as much as I like Dan Bylsma and really respect the job he's done as a head coach, Laviolette,
yeah,
when it gets to the playoffs, I mean, look what they did 2 years ago as an 8 seed with right. no goaltending.
Right.
Get to the Stanley Cup Finals. He's a mastermind. I like Peter Laviolette a lot. Best American-born coach out there.
Not only that, they also have an American-born GM, Paul Holmgren.
Paul Holmgren. That's yeah, right.
Amazing.
That's a good point.
And now they move forward in the series. It's a must-win for Pittsburgh next time through. You can't go to Philadelphia down 0-2. You know, home ice is important. I mean,
but not as important in the NHL.
But as we've found out, enough road teams win higher percentage. But I think going back to Philadelphia 0-2 is not the route you want to go. And not only that, Danny Briere only played 49 games this year. He has been not just a good playoff performer. He's been a great playoff performer for years, and he showed it last night. May not have had the regular season of regular seasons, but when the light went on for the Stanley Cup playoffs, he scored two in the opener.
You know, and what was disappointing about that game from Pittsburgh's perspective is their forwards defensively let them down in that third period in overtime. I mean, you look at the game-winning yeah. – well, actually, the game-winning goal, Jordan Staal got caught just standing there. Certainly that first goal by Briere, it was offside. There's no question about it. But right. that happens. It's professional sports. There are humans that are making the calls, so that happens. But I think Pittsburgh's forwards, as intense as they were finishing their checks in the first period, got a little lax, up 3-0, up 3-1, and that's what cost them in that game last night.
Wow. Yeah, no doubt about that.
But there's nothing to beat playoff hockey. I mean, it is a completely different game. And you saw that. If you watched the first period of that game last night, just the intensity, the crowd, it's tremendous. But I really think Nashville in the West is the team that's going to come out of that. They've got the goaltending. They made the moves at the deadline. You can't name more than a couple players in that team, even if you're a hardcore hockey fan.
Well, Pekka Rinne, obviously.
But you can name him.
In the goal. And obviously everyone knows who Fisher is.
That's they know him, though.
Terry Underwood's husband. All right. But Rudalev getting him.
Mm-hmm.
From the Kazakhstan Hockey League or whatever the heck they got him from Russia, bringing him back, he'll have an impact at some point.
Well, defense on the blue line, there's no better with Weber,
no.
Suter,
Shea
and
Weber.
Gill.
Shea Weber's outstanding.
Tremendous defensive team, and that's what wins in the playoffs: goaltending
mm-hmm.
and defense. It's what wins in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I've liked Nashville even before they made some of those moves. So that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting that's your pick as well.
Well, because 2 weeks ago on the show, I said, and the Penguins were about to play Nashville, I said, this will be a great test. I said, because to me, Nashville is a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. Not a team to advance in the Cup playoffs. I said a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. So 2 weeks ago, I felt that. They haven't done anything since that made me change my mind. Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. They're solid. It was key for them to get to home ice in that series against Detroit. As much as I don't...
Because Detroit has actually had one of its worst years playing away from home.
That's right. You can't beat them at home.
Right.
But I think as much as I don't believe home ice advantage or home field or whatever in the playoffs, as important as I think it is, obviously, it's not as important in the NHL. It's right. shown that. I mean, right. look at the number of teams over the years who have come from the second tier, if you will,
right.
to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. Philadelphia is a good example.
Right. Right.
Remember the Minnesota North Stars when the Penguins won their first Stanley Cup?
They were an 8 seed.
Pittsburgh themselves, when they won their second cup, was the third place team
right.
in the Patrick Division.
Right.
You remember the old divisional alignment. So, you know, you can get hot in the playoffs. Edmonton and Carolina a couple years ago. I mean, there's plenty of examples of that. It's just a completely different season.
You, of course, we've talked about many things so far, but you being the general manager of the Spikes, State College Spikes, and obviously with the Williamsport Crosscutters are close by. You've had a great relationship with that franchise from the very beginning, Sawbuck Series all the way through. What are the challenges of being a minor league general manager and what you, because you just had your meetings in St. Petersburg, for example, which
tough. Yeah,
obviously
it was tough.
One of the great challenges of doing your job.
Being in St. Petersburg?
Yes. for your league meetings.
Yeah, we were talking on the phone and that seagull, I couldn't shut him up. I mean, he just wouldn't.
Well, you know what we did? We went online, and St. Petersburg Beach has a webcam.
Oh, yeah?
And we put it online, and there was a girls volleyball in the sand going on at the moment, and we were looking for
I probably
you.
Was nearby, to be honest. Yeah.
What bothers me is we found the seagull. Webcam was really good, very, very, very accurate. But what are the challenges that you have to face on an everyday basis, despite the fact that you have put together a trustworthy, and to its credit, a well-oiled machine? Every once in a while, a gear goes bad, but still, for the most part, well-oiled.
Yeah. Well, each market is different. You know, if you're asking about State College, I think most of the challenges that I thought that this franchise would have really been overcome, because... My concern, and I'm sure many people's, and I don't know if this was your opinion or not, Steve, but when you looked at this franchise coming into a market that's so heavily dominated by Penn State football, Penn State basketball, Penn State athletics, Penn State everything, right. you wondered, well, is there enough room? Is there a niche that can be carved out for minor league baseball?
Right.
And quickly, the answer was yes, because. The season actually fits beautifully from right. mid-June
right.
right until the 1st of September, basically up to the first football game. You still have 10,000 to 15,000 students that are hanging around on campus officially, and many more that aren't, but many more that are there. You have a good community, a good base, a good region that looks at State College as an entertainment mecca, as somewhere to come and be entertained. And from a community standpoint, from getting involved in the business community, from carving out really a niche in the entertainment calendar, that was a concern, but that was erased very quickly. So State College is a very good market for minor league baseball. It's a classic minor league baseball market because it's got families who are looking to be entertained and are looking for affordability. Right. And that's what minor league baseball does, not just in State College, but in Williamsport and Harrisburg and Reading, Erie, Altoona. I don't think there's a state in the country with more successful and more varied minor league baseball franchises. There's nobody that lives in this listening audience right now that's not an hour from minor league baseball. And that's the beauty of it.
It's one
and
of the
very
few,
successful minor league baseball teams, too.
It's one of the few states that features single A, New York Penn League, double A, Erie, Altoona, Reading, Harrisburg, Eastern League, triple A, Lehigh Valley, and obviously Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, although they won't be playing in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre this year because of the stadium renovation, and two major league teams.
Yeah. You know, that's what's great about the state of Pennsylvania. And it wasn't like that when I was growing up. I grew up in central Pennsylvania. We didn't have the Altoona curve. We didn't have the state college spikes. Now we do. Harrisburg's been around for a long time, played in an older ballpark, but it's been completely renovated, beautiful on City Island.
Mm-hmm.
So minor league baseball is alive and well in the state of Pennsylvania. I think our challenge, and the folks in Williamsport would say the same thing, is the roster, which isn't necessarily imperative to our business success. And we can make money and we can sell tickets without knowing what the roster is, because minor league baseball isn't about baseball necessarily. It's about, you know, the fun and affordability and the family entertainment. But, you know, there are logistical challenges that we face, such as the draft takes place in early June and our season begins 10 days later. So it becomes very difficult at our level in the New York Penn League in short season Class A. You don't know who the players are going to be until 10 days before the start of the season. And that's what makes it really difficult. So that's a challenge. But, you know, we burn the midnight oil, get those names on the backs of the jerseys, and we've been through it a few times.
Yeah, been through it a few times. And what's been interesting is that when the Pirates draft, that's when the team plays its better baseball. I know it. That's when one of the concerns is coming out of camp. They haven't been strong enough coming out of camp when you'd like to get off to a good start.
Right.
Nothing you can do about that.
That's very true. So, you know, it's there are logistical challenges, but minor league baseball is great. And, you know, this state, residents of the state of Pennsylvania, make sure you get out, not just to State College or to Williamsport.
Anywhere.
Go to Harrisburg. I mean, you know, heck, last year you had Bryce Harper playing for the Harrisburg Senators.
Right.
Somebody asked me the other day on another show, believe it or not.
I'm a little offended.
Well, you know, who are some of the guys that you've seen in person?
Sure.
And I was able to rattle off, well, let's see. I mean, my first year in baseball, Alfonso Soriano and Jimmy Rollins and... you know, going up through the ranks, guys like Ryan Zimmerman and David Wright and Ryan Howard, who, by the way, was not a can't-miss prospect. He was a fifth-round draft pick out of... Do you know where he went to school?
I want to say Creighton.
Same conference.
In the Missouri Valley?
Yeah.
Nah. Well, I said...
He went to Missouri State, or Southwest Missouri State at that time.
The trainer for Batavia told me a story about him. He is the only player that he's ever gone to pick up at the airport that when he picked him up, he was wearing a jacket and tie.
Ryan Howard. And he was an unknown guy, really.
Right.
I mean, he was a fifth-round draft pick, so we're not talking about a can't-miss guy, but I had a chance to see him in his breakthrough year when he was playing for the Reading Phillies.
Right.
Justin Morneau, Jose Bautista played for my team in Altoona.
Right.
Now a 50 home run guy, but was not a, you know, he was not a superstar in the minor leagues.
Toronto.
Yeah, for the Toronto. not for Pittsburgh.
Not for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, not for Pittsburgh. For Toronto.
Right.
A lot of other teams gave up on him. The Orioles, you know, a lot of guys. But that's the beauty of it. You get to see guys before they are household names.
A key guy that's been up and down, that they're waiting again to break through against, Dominic Brown. You and I saw him play at Williamsport against State College. The starting second baseman for the Phillies right now with Chase Utley out, so much focus on him. You and I saw Freddie Galvis play at Williamsport as a shortstop. Jason Mott threw the final pitch of the World Series. State College spike.
Alan Craig caught the final.
State College spike.
Right.
So,
you know, there's a stat that I love. And when I go speak, and I do a lot of speaking engagements, and I always open it up by asking a question, because I like to explain to people what minor league baseball is. The number one thing I always, you know, you ever see a Family Guy, Peter Griffin, he said, you know what grinds my gears? The thing that grinds my gears is when people say, well, when these guys get up to the pros, Well, hold on. They're already in the pros.
Right.
Okay? This is the pros.
Exactly.
This is professional baseball. But there are only, to my knowledge, and I didn't comb through all of the opening day rosters, but I believe there are like two guys currently in the major leagues, 25-man rosters mm-hmm. times 30. Right. I can't do the math, but 600-some players in the major leagues right now.
Right.
And there are two guys, to my knowledge, who did not play an inning of minor league baseball.
Right.
One of them is Mike Leake from the Cincinnati Reds. I forget the other. But if that doesn't tell you, and you look throughout the last 20 years in Major League Baseball, there's only a handful of guys who did not play minor league baseball.
The Al Kalines of the world are rare. Al Kaline never played an inning of minor league baseball.
Jim Abbott is a good, another example, somebody like that.
Exactly.
But very few guys.
Right.
I mean, you look at all the superstars in baseball right
they
now. Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, blah, blah, blah. Right down the line. They all played minor league baseball.
Right.
That's the beauty of it. And they played minor league baseball in towns like Williamsport, Batavia, State College.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson Valley, Pulaski, Beloit. Shall I continue? I mean, it's just all over the map.
Bellingham. Love Bellingham.
Walla Walla.
Made the cut in the show today. All right, we'll come back with the final segment with Jason Dombach in a moment on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Get a jump on savings with coupons in your Kohl's Hardware Flyer.
Clip the coupons for buy one, get one free for Easy Care and Weatherall paint, limit 5 free gallons, plus clip the coupon for a propane refill for just $12 or $5 when you buy a new 20-pound tank.
Time for garden cleanup. Get the Bully round or square point shovels and Bully rake, just $29.99 each. Bully tools are made in the USA. And get a jump on weeds with a 13-pound bag of Preen, just $17.99.
Save $25 on a pressure washer, now just $89.99. And save $9 on Fisker pruners. A two-piece set is just $15.97.
Get a jump on color with a Whiskey half-barrel planter ready for spring pansies and colorful solar stake lights. Butterfly, hummingbird, and bumblebee, now just $4.99.
Clip your coupons from the flyer and get a jump on savings at Kohl's Hardware. Hurry, sale ends April 15th.
For more savings, sign up at kohlshardware.com and be a friend and like us on Facebook.
Now, Kohl's Hardware is more than just your neighborhood hardware store. Oh, we're still right around the corner with over 15,000 name brand products. But now, you also have great offers waiting for you online. Sign up at kohlshardware.com.
Has Uncle Sam put the squeeze on your summer fun? Susquehanna Valley RV's tax relief sale is on its way. Get up and get away this camping season with help from Susquehanna Valley RV, Route 522 Sealands Grove and Route 11 Bloomsburg. This Friday begins the Susquehanna Valley RV tax relief sale, giving you the relief to enjoy the RV season. And they mean business. Huge discounts on all RVs from names you can trust. Not only the best price of the season, but factory approved discounts. Good through April 21st only. You can't afford to miss the tax relief sale with on-the-spot friendly financing. Over 200 combined campers on display. Free refreshments daily. Trades are welcome. The sale starts this Friday at Susquehanna Valley RV, Route 522 Sealands Grove and Route 11 Bloomsburg.
There's an exciting new world waiting for you at Susquehanna Valley RV. A camper's best friend.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking?
Dude.
For you. Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right.
Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
Okay, final segment of the show. Got about 4 minutes left with Jason Dombach, general manager of the State College Spikes, and for many years, obviously, play-by-play voice of the Altoona Curve, and now, of course, working with the Spike. Well, it's okay. I'm a sports nerd, who too. What the heck?
You know, who isn't? I was locked into the Masters, by the way. Did you talk about it? I'm sure you've talked about it.
Well, here's the disgusting part. Now, I had to delay it for a year, and people who listen to the show know this. I have badges for the second round.
Jack, this year?
Yes. Jack Ham and I were going down with two friends to Augusta. All set. Four badges. Tim Wiebe, Ron Bowler, Jack Hamby, we're going down.
They heard what your handicap is.
Well, they know mentally it is. And so they got that part. There was a problem with the plane. And they said, well, you know, we can go down commercially. He said, we'll take care of it. And I said, you know what? You know how uncomfortable you feel when you're thinking to yourself, it's one thing to go down in some guy's private plane because he's going there anywhere anyway.
Yeah.
So we put it off to next year.
Okay.
So we were, I was locked into the Masters. And it would have been great because I think for everybody, there's certain places you want to go. Right? Have you, for example, always wanted to go to Lambeau Field? I've done that. Fenway, of course, I grew up around there, so that was easy. Indianapolis Motor Speedway, done that. But I always wanted to go to Augusta National.
If you're a golfer, though, you have to find, and you've never been to a PGA Tour event. I'm not even talking about the Masters. I mean, just any.
Right. Because I've covered the
find your way.
I've covered the U.S. Open.
I went to Sawgrass last year for the Players when KJ Choi won over Toms, right. And that was amazing to me as a golfer to see Phil Mickelson on the tee, and you know as the way these guys play, how they approach the game. You know, it's unlike any other. And of course, that's one of the best places to go. But you know, just any event where you have these PGA Tour guys playing. You know, it puts you to shame. I mean, the way they check the ball and the way they can get the compression on the ball and spin it. And, you know, that stuff none of us are going to be able to do. But
I went.
It's amazing.
I went to the Greater Hartford Open. This is a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tommy Armour III. Good player, but not one of the elite players. Okay. Fair
average
assessment.
Player.
Look, if you're on the tour, you're one of the top 150 players in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So, good player. He hit a ball on the 10th hole into a bush. Now, the bush is a little bit in from the tree line. Okay? After a few minutes of examining the bush and the position of the ball in the bush, which is about a foot off the ground, I'm watching this. He takes out a club, lashes at it, slices it around the tree, and rolls up on the green 20 feet from the cup. I stood there.
That's unbelievable.
I stood there and thought, this is something I can't conceive. I can't conceive this.
Who was the guy that hit the ball out of the water last year in the final event of the year? I forget. That's just stuff you can't do it.
You can't.
That's why Mickelson imploding on that hole made everybody feel good.
Everyone's like,
because we've done that.
That's us.
Yeah. Phil does it. I can do it.
I do it almost every hole. JD, it's great to have you.
Thanks, Steve.
Hope you had as much fun as I did. Back tomorrow, we'll take a look at the Big Ten Conference here on WKOK.
Hi, I'm Michael Smirkanish, and you're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK AM in Sunbury.